This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
All right, welcome. Wells Tech, episode 403 for Tuesday, July 23rd. Nope, let's try July 28th, 2015. Welcome, everybody. We are, as you can see, in the same place at the same time once again at Synod Convention in Saginaw, Michigan. Welcome, Sally. How are you?
I'm happy to be here, Martin. It's been a good week so far.
Yep, and you've been here a few extra days.
I have.
Over
lucky
on Saturday.
Me.
Just thought you'd enjoy the sights of Saginaw.
That's right. Okay. Got to see all kinds of things.
What do you think of this convention so far? It's not your first rodeo.
It isn't, but wonderful group of people gathered here, and so far so good. I'm working with the resolution process, and I think it's rolling, so that's a good sign.
We should let everybody know that you can watch all the general sessions on wells.net. If you go to Wells, www.wells.net, you can watch the entire convention live. We've got a couple more days. We are just through the first day, really, here on Tuesday. Full day on Wednesday and a half day on Thursday. So just go to the website and click on the convention website link there, and you'll be able to see all the proceedings and even the archived video. We had a great essay this afternoon from Pastor Jim Huebner and all kinds of other stuff, including the wonderful opening service sermon. Pastor Paul Kalpin joins us. Hey, Paul.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you serve, what you do.
Sure. I'm a professor at Martin Luther College. I serve in the areas of history and theology. I teach mostly history courses, but I teach one of the three general Bible courses, and that course covers end of the Old Testament and the Gospels. So, and I teach mostly in the area of European history or Western Civ type courses.
Okay.
Very good. People watching and not experiencing last night's worship service may be surprised that we celebrated Easter in July in Saginaw.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing. I was asked by President Schrader if I would preach for the opening service, and then probably 6 months ago or so, some of the planning for that opening service happened, and they wondered if I had, he said the theme of the convention will be one in Christ, and he gave me the latitude to pick my own text. And it just so happened that it was right about at Easter time that I was working on a couple of devotions for chapel at Martin Luther College on 1 Corinthians 15. And I was thinking about the text for Synod Convention as well. And I didn't want to, I knew that Pastor Huebner was going to be focusing in on Ephesians and the one Lord, one faith, and so forth. And so I thought, I don't want to go there. And there were some other texts that I thought would work. But it all of a sudden dawned on me that we were one in Christ because we had been one in Christ, W-O-N, and that whole sense of the victory we have being the heart and core of the gospel, what Christ did on the cross. And so I thought, why not pick this text from 1 Corinthians 15 that I had been working on? And then it ends with that wonderful section that says, now let nothing move you and give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And it just kind of fits a convention kind of encouragement.
Right.
So then I wrote to President Schrader and said, what about, and Brian Gerlach, who did a lot of the service planning, what about 1 Corinthians 15? And they said, Brian Gerlach wrote back, hey, we could have Easter in July. And I said, that'd be great.
Perfect.
Awesome.
So
that's
how you're used to speaking in front of large groups, the whole student body, you know, at MLC.
Right.
Just a little bit different?
Yeah, you know, it was. It was, obviously, there were very few seats left, and I think they had a number of people downstairs.
A lot of overflow.
Yeah, a lot of overflow, right. And I am used to preaching in front of larger crowds at Martin Luther College. We'll have, you know, several hundred, 500, 600 people at chapel. But there were over 700 people there, and it was very, very full. And it's just a different It's a different sermon.
Feel. It's almost a celebration kind of thing.
Yeah,
right?
And the singing was just raising the roof, right? And
a lot of harmony going on.
Yeah, and it just filled that place. And as I was walking up to the pulpit, I thought, wow, I mean, I'm supposed to say something now after this. And so there was it was just a real honor and privilege to be able to stand up there and say, look, this is what God has to say to us.
Right.
And I'm the kind of person who always writes my sermons out, but I'm not a slave to my copy.
Mm-hmm.
With this sermon, I had it all written out, and I had worked on it a lot so that because I knew this is what I wanted to say, I was a little bit more tied to my copy than I normally would be, and it just even in my head, even though I. So that made the preaching circumstance a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just did.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, you have another privilege where you teach train our future pastors and teachers.
Right.
You've been around that campus for a long time.
I have been.
How is it different training the kids of today, so to speak, to go out into this, as a technology podcast, world in which technology is so central, so overwhelming, maybe.
Pervasive. How
do you prepare them for something that maybe you didn't experience?
Right.
Your dad taught there.
Right.
He certainly didn't.
Right.
How's it different, and how do you do that?
I think to myself, maybe I was, and I hate to say this, but maybe I was in just the best generation in the sense that we still understood what books and things like that were like, and yet we understand the great value of the technology, but I'm not a slave to it. I mean, it's not the only thing I can use, and so I found myself between these things. Increasingly, students come in and they just have digital things. That's all they use. And that's harder for me to understand. It's harder for me to get used to. And I make adjustments. I mean, I slowly find that I'm going to have to make adjustments to how I do things. I use PowerPoint in the classroom. I don't ever use it for text. I just, in a history classroom, I'll use it for pictures. I'll use it for maps and things. But I'm using it a lot in the classroom. I'm trying to model how I think it might work best. This was the first year teaching religion courses where I had several students who only used their smartphones for their Bible.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, I still think it's better to have a Bible in front of you, a book in front of you, but I actually did say to one student, I really do prefer if you have this, and I think it's better for you. And he just finally had to say to me, I couldn't get used to it.
That's amazing.
And so so I'm having to kind of roll with that. And I didn't say, hey, you can't do it, but I still think that there's great value in the book and that kind of text learning. But I understand too the great benefit of technology, digital things. It's tremendous.
And certainly the people that are going to be ministering to are going to be using those tools as well.
Yeah. When I first got into ministry, email was just starting.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was trying to figure out what was this going to be like. And the internet was in its infant years. And now you couldn't imagine life without email, and certainly it would, if I were in a parish situation, it would be a lot different now.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Pastor Copeen, thank you so much for taking the time. I realize you have a busy schedule, you have other responsibilities, but blessings on your work there on the Hill, and
thank you.
I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate
it's great
it very
to
much.
Have you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Sally, what we tried to do with this particular podcast was mix it up a little bit. We're going to try and bring in some more guests, get their reaction to convention, but also provide some ministry resources, kind of ministry resource heavy. So you and I kind of took turns on figuring out what resources we wanted to share. And the one that I wanted to share, if we can share the screen here, Lee, is meditations. We're sitting up, you probably can't see it real well, we're sitting way up high in the balcony of Michigan Lutheran Seminary on their campus, and this is traditionally where the visitors sit to our left, but behind that are just tables and tables of NPH material. What's interesting about the NPH of today is they have probably just as much electronic resources as they do print material.
Right.
And one of those that I'm really thankful for and use is Meditations. Meditations has been a book around for a long time, mm-hmm. but now I think it's been made even more useful by making it into an app. It's $1.99. You can download it only on the iOS store, I think, at this point.
Right. But
it's got a number of things going for it. Obviously, you get the text, but you have prayers that are included. You have some customization that you can bake into this. For instance, reminders. Say, hey, if I haven't logged in and read the morning devotion, remind me on my phone. Give me a notification.
Sure.
You can do bookmarks, and now they've recently added the ability to share. So I think this is a nice little personal confessional. They've got some nice little tweaks they've done, adjusting text size, those kinds of things. But that is a great ministry resource. And if you're not encouraging your people to, the people around you, the people in your life, people in your congregation, kids in your classroom to take advantage of this, you're missing out. And at a very cheap price, $1.99 a month. So.
Kevin and I are Meditations readers. And one thing I enjoy about it is the fact that it follows the readings that go on in the Sunday service. And so often we'll hear a sermon and then we'll get to carry through and enjoy that throughout the week as the readings, you know, are parallel to what we experienced in church on Sunday. So great format. I really enjoy it.
Good. So that's ministry resource number one. Interview number two is up.
Yeah. Happy to welcome Carl Hochmuth, who is a professor at Luther Prep School. And here as a delegate and maybe a committee chairman as
yes,
well.
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
I am. Yes.
So
happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. We were curious about your impressions of convention. Is this your first convention?
This is my second. I was here 30 years ago.
Okay. A little different now?
Yeah, a little bit different.
Okay.
Same idea, same uplifting experience as it always is.
And, for sure.
Especially the theme, you know, we're one in Christ. You know, that it's come across so well in everything that's
it's
been.
Really clear this year, isn't it? I mean, sometimes the themes are, you know, a little bit, you know, left and right, but this is, it's really clear.
We're
this is a team
together.
Effort.
Yeah. We're walking together. Yes.
Exactly.
It's great.
Yep.
Very good.
Speaking of team efforts, you've got a lot of stuff going on at Luther Prep. You're going into a one-to-one program.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about why you felt that was important in your, and please share with everybody what your role is there as well.
Well, right now I'm serving as the Educational Technology Coordinator. Okay. I had served as Academic Dean for many years. So I took on this new role because we saw the need, you know, with the technology in the world today, that we are going to have students coming through our Luther Prep who are going to go on to Martin Luther College and become the new teachers. And they are going to have to be versed in what they're doing, and what better way than is to train them by using the information and modeling it for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things that it's going to happen sooner or later, and so let's get going and let's get moving with it and let's start using the kids are ready for it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Some of us older people are not so ready, but the kids are ready and they're looking forward to it. So. That's what we're going to do.
What platform did you choose?
We decided we're going to go with a Chromebook, and we're going to be using the Dell Chromebook.
Okay. So, and they'll, what, get issued it as a freshman? Or?
Issued as a freshman, and as long as they take care of it, it'll be theirs when it'll be there when they're done.
Good.
So it'll be theirs at the end of the 4 years.
Sure,
How do you envision usage happening? Are you working with the faculty then, with in-service kinds of things, or regular training sessions to kind of, because obviously the success of the program isn't necessarily going to hinge on the students, but it's really going to be on the faculty,
correct,
right?
Correct, correct. We started last year, and once we knew we were going to go one-to-one, we started working with the faculty, and all during last school year, we held monthly training sessions to getting them prepared, ready to see what was out there. We obtained a set of Chromebooks that we could move from room to room, so various teachers were able to teach a whole unit with it to get
dip
a
their
feel,
toe in the water,
get the feeling for what's going to happen, what we can do and can't do. We will continue that through the next school year. Now that we got it, okay, now the questions are going to come.
Right.
well, can I do this? Or I tried this and this didn't work. Well, what other suggestions do you have? And so that's what we're hoping to be there, to be their support and encourager and, you know.
And hopefully, maybe even on the heels of Wells Tech Conference. And I know you were there.
Yes.
And those Wells Tech connections will come in handy for you.
Very much so. Very much so.
Excellent.
Anything to, there's a lot of schools out there kind of in the same boat that they're just considering that you're just getting started. Any advice for them now that you've kind of gone through the summer that you're going to launch this thing? What would be the one or two things you'd advise or counsel them on?
If you're going one-to-one and you're going with wireless devices, you got to make sure you have your access points.
Yeah,
make
we've
sure
heard
you
that
have
more
them.
Than once. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to have your bandwidth because mm-hmm. if you don't, everything comes and crashing
crumble.
Down.
Yeah.
You have nothing there. There's a lot of choices out there, which way you want to go. There used to be one Chromebook. Yeah, I saw that when you had the podcast where that was introduced.
That's right. Right. That's right.
I saw that one, and since that time, there's like 20, you know, there's
sure,
20
so
or 30.
Choices.
And so just looking at your choices and what you want to do and work with it. The other thing is you've got to have the faculty trained. And even though it's an ongoing project, it's something that not all of them have the time to go look at all the resources. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of what my job is. I'm looking at the resources, seeing what's out there, and sharing with them. I'm kind of the gatekeeper of what comes so they don't get hit with the tidal wave. I just let it rain on them a little bit here and there. So.
Very good.
Well, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know committee chairman have have some pretty big responsibilities at this convention. That's kind of what it's all about.
Yes.
And thank you for taking the time to do that. Blessings on your rollout and your work there at LPS.
Well, thank you very much.
We'll have to check back.
Yep. Yeah, we'll do.
Sally, what's up for our next ministry resource?
My I think you're on deck. Next, definitely. Well, I mentioned Wells Tech Conference. I'm still in the afterglow of Wells Tech Conference. Learned so much there. And one of the things that I learned, and I want to share my screen, is that Rachel Feld did a great Technology in Christlight presentation. And we posted all the presentations. Maybe I'll include one more link in our show notes to the full gamut of presentations that were out there. But Rachel stuck out to us and was worthy of mention because she put together a great slideshow. It's a Google slideshow, and she has a lot of different resources related to using technology in your Bible time in school, and some that I hadn't even heard of, Martin.
Right.
So
yeah, she did a pretty exhaustive list of resources there.
Definitely worth a stroll through the list. She's got Pinterest represented. Searching Pinterest is a good place to start. Mm-hmm. But she gets really detailed, lots of websites and other resources that I think will be beneficial to our audience. So we'll have a link in the show notes to Rachel's presentation from Wells Tech Conference, and it's all about using technology in the Christ-like curriculum. I think you'll find it
I think
worthy.
We're going to see with a lot of these publications coming out of both NPH and the Synod office, there's got to be a technology component, figuring out how to get this into onto screens, get these into different formats, whether they be mobile mm-hmm. or otherwise, and you know, kind of critical component to make, in NPH's case, a saleable product, but also a usable product in many different ministry contexts. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we thank Rachel for her work on that and hope that everyone will benefit.
Yep. We should probably introduce our next guest, missionary Terry Schultz. Hey, Terry.
Thanks for joining us.
For really appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
Yes, happy
thank
to
you
have
so
you.
Much.
Maybe you could start off by telling us a little bit about your mission field and the work you do there.
Okay. Actually, I'm just coming off of 4 years in Santo Domingo, where my work was going over to Haiti for 1 week each month and helping to get the Haiti mission going. We have a completely seminary-trained Haitian pastor, Rona, who's heading up the work there. After the 2010 earthquake, the 7-point earthquake, 320,000 Haitians died, leaving so many children orphans in an instant. Christian Aid and Relief came in. Mark Vance's group made some contacts. And by the grace of God, we've been able to work with a lot of children, lots of different orphanages, and just seen a lot of little souls saved by through the power of baptism.
Right.
And
that
it's
makes
just
these
been
opportunities.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So, are you here as a delegate?
Yes, here's a delegate, correct.
So from a missionary's perspective, impressions of a synod convention.
Yes, absolutely. I tell you, people just are so enthused about what we do. And I say, guys, you imagine going to work where you go in the door of where you're going to work and 40 little children come running, screaming to see you.
Sure.
So I have a great job, but people who I've never met, every hour, you know, are coming and they just say thank you for what you do. And it is, of course, the Synod and its people that allow us to do this kind of mission work.
That's great. Great.
One of the neat things that I hear from almost every missionary is just kind of a plea to come to the field and experience what we're experiencing, because it kind of gives you a whole different perspective rather than kind of seeing videos and talking to missionaries here at a synod convention. There's really no substitute for seeing those faces, for being, you know, knee-deep in that ministry in those fields, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's amazing. It's so close. It's just barely a couple of hours from Miami, mm-hmm. but you can't believe a country could be that different. It is certainly the most African country in the Western Hemisphere. It has been known for decades as the poorest country in the entire Western Hemisphere. President Kennedy, back in the 60s, actually began, you know, when he founded the Peace Corps, began sending Peace Corps volunteers to Haiti, back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And here it is, all these decades later, and it is still the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere.
Wow.
So, but to come and see it, absolutely, there's no substitute. Little dicey, we might say these days, they still have UN forces that are patrolling the streets. Just to help, you know, kind of have a high-profile profile presence. So it's still just, it's pretty volatile there yet.
Wow.
But God's word needs to be there as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly.
So this is a technology show. Tell us, at least from your perspective, how maybe technology might be helping missionaries of today and tomorrow.
Okay. We are so excited. We have a couple of guys on our Latin American committee, some very mm-hmm. techie people mm-hmm. like yourselves. And so we actually have our own web page now. And we're getting very much into offering courses over the internet, Spanish for starters. Hopefully we'll get to the Haitian Creole also. But I'm also doing the work with Latin America. I kind of prepared for this, a couple of these extraordinary statistics, I believe. We have now, after, I think it's been up, I'm not sure how many months, but as of right now, we have 1,000 people per day.
Wonderful.
Watching that Come Follow Me movie in Spanish. 1,000 a day.
Wow.
All right, I'm just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We love prepared guests.
All right. All right. We have about 1 million viewers on our Facebook page per week.
Wow.
And these numbers are just in the stratosphere,
yeah.
I would say. And we have more than 500 people right now signed up for these courses over the internet. Again, this is just such a wave of the future
mm-hmm.
that the costs are so minimal. And we have courses, everything from the most basic classes, members classes, theological classes for lay leaders and evangelists.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely exploding.
Wonderful.
Even in third world settings, it's amazing how many people will in fact have a smartphone.
That's what I was wondering. Is it all mobile?
It's all going that way.
Wow.
It's bigger, of course, in places like Mexico than Haiti. Colombia is pretty good. Bolivia is there. So we are really investing heavily in time and developing courses, that kind of thing.
Yeah, right now, today, all of that exciting stuff is happening. What do you
yes.
envision for the future? What is the missionaries' ministry going to look like in the future as you see these changes happening?
Well, for all the tech delivery system that we have now, the big concern is, of course, content. So we actually took a poll in all of our different Latin American fields, again, Bolivia, Mexico. I think we talked with the Peruvians, Columbians to ask them what subjects they would like to see courses on.
Oh, okay.
And this is really interesting. Some things that we may not have emphasized, well, we haven't in the United States. Some things we didn't necessarily even learn a whole lot about in our seminary education, but these are primary concerns, what I call, we need, you know, the need for a daily dogmatics, a dogmatics for daily living. Mm. In other words, we take this poll of all of our Latin American congregations, what would you like to take a course on? I'll give you the first two. Number one, witchcraft, brujeria,
yeah.
Dogmatics for daily living, things right. that concern people.
Very pragmatic.
Right. Ooh, that's the word.
Yeah.
You have your shamans mm-hmm. in South America. You have your voodoo priests in Haiti. You have what we call the cult practitioner. Same thing as African witch doctors, Apache medicine men. But we have no course on witchcraft, an entire course. And this gets very fascinating immediately. For example, oh, you pastors come in, and what about that shaman who does white magic? You know, he can do curses, he does the black magic, but he also can heal children. So can I go to the shaman for if my child is sick and there's no access to a doctor? We need a course on this.
Right. Mm-hmm. Again, something we don't concoct in the back room at Martin Luther College, probably, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Topic number two, closely behind brujeria, closely behind witchcraft, is the topic of ghosts, mm-hmm. which is something I'm working on right now. For example, in South America, mm-hmm. back in the jungle, if a child, you know, dies unexpectedly, tragically, accidentally, the idea of a child, you know, someone that goes before their time, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is very common in certain villages where the mother, after their child has died, wakes up at night hearing the spirit, the ghost of their dead mm-hmm. child calling out for mom, trying to find their way to their mom. So the child, the ghost of the child, supposedly, is floating around the house calling for mom. Mom's answering, and, you know, essentially mom's going crazy with grief, and now she's hearing her child. Certain tribes in Peru, for example, the Shawi, who I worked with, they actually, their remedy for this phenomena, this ghost child coming into the house, is to actually disassemble their entire thatched roof house,
wow.
move it about 100 yards down the village, reconstruct it, and then the child can't find the house. And
wow.
the mom no longer hears the child's voice. Mom thinks mm-hmm. that her child has finally given up and crossed over to paradise. So, when the mom comes with this ghost story, or spirit story, and says to the Lutheran village pastor, "Pastor, what do you think?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pastor needs to have done his ghost homework,
right?
Sure.
And that's what you're going to put on in some kind of digital format for them.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Hopefully, something with lots of pictures. Mm-hmm. And imagine the joy that he brings when he reminds mom.
Right.
That she baptized her little baby,
right.
and that baby instantly passed over to paradise with Jesus.
Right.
So these are going to be some pretty positive.
And they'll hear their voice books. Again, but it'll
ooh,
be.
Ooh, there you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I should take a note of that.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Terry, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Blessings on your work. It's exciting stuff, and thank you for taking the time with
thank
us.
You so much.
Very good. We'll
thank
be
you very
following
much. Very blessed
efforts.
To be here.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Right, time to jump into another ministry resource, and this one actually came from a listener's email, I believe. I think I have it up here. Let's see if I can find a last name. I, I don't have it in front of me, but we heard from Tim. I want to say maybe it was Tim Giebelhaus, but I might be wrong about the last name. And he was asking for some direction on having a congregational WordPress site. So you and I deferred to the expert on WordPress. That would be our Wells webmaster, Julie Duran. And Julie sent him some great links. And again, she was one of our Wells Tech Conference presenters, right, presented on WordPress. And so one of the things that she shared with him was a WordPress theme called Incarnation, which is specifically built for congregational usage. So might want to check that out yourself. You can buy the theme. I think the price is around $50. But they have a demo site set up so you can check out the different things that are very congregation website specific about this Incarnation theme. So also, Julie shared a link to a website. I'm not sure if we've talked about this one before on Ministry Resources, but churchwp.net is a website dedicated to using the WordPress content management system for congregational websites. And so lots of ideas here, not just themes, but plugins and training videos and design tips, all geared toward congregational websites using WordPress. So
yeah, I mean, we encourage a lot of our congregations to use Final Web, but there are certainly limitations and depends on what your skill sets are as well. You know, mm-hmm. WordPress is maybe not as quite as easy to use, but very powerful. And this whole theme side is they have a lot of mobile-friendly themes. They have a lot of themes that are really now designed specifically for churches, mm-hmm. Which they didn't when they first started. So it's certainly a viable option and a tool that if you're looking for a redo of your website, this would be a great website to go to.
Yeah, certainly worth checking out.
There's a little cost to it, right? I think Julie said 50-some-odd dollars.
That particular theme is, 53. Mm-hmm. But the churchwp.net is just a site you can peruse for free. So
exactly.
Check it out. Yep. We'll have a link in
it's worth,
the show
I mean,
notes.
It is worth putting this kind of energy and effort into your website. I mean, you want it to obviously be a pleasing experience. Mm-hmm. And you have other considerations now with adding video especially and mm-hmm. the ability to do some nice searches in these templates too.
For
that,
sure. So. Time for interview number four, and I'm very happy to introduce Brent Nimmers, who's a friend of mine from the South Central District, Dallas-Fort Worth area. Thanks for being here, Brent.
Great
happy to
be
have
here.
You. Yeah, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about your home congregation and your role in the South Central District.
Well, I'm at Atonement in Plano, Texas, and I'm the webmaster there.
Awesome. We like webmasters.
Yeah.
And, perfect ministry resource lead-in.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I help out with some webmaster duties on some other sites in the district as well.
Awesome.
Especially Camp Shiloh out in East Texas.
Very good. Very good. And you are a first-time convention attendee?
Yes, I am.
All right. Maybe you want to give us what it's like for a layperson to be here at Synod Convention.
Well, it's very interesting. Really wasn't what I expected it to be. Not entirely sure what I expected, but I have had a good time because, you know, even though not being a pastor, I don't know every third person that I run into here at the convention. I do know a lot of people who were formerly in the South Central District, and gives me an opportunity to catch up on the
Wells
pastors.
Connections.
Yeah,
exactly. Good stuff.
What committee are you serving on?
Publications.
Okay.
So we're looking at the Publishing Coordinating Committee and Northwestern Publishing House.
Okay, very good.
Excellent.
So you've got a little bit of work ahead of you yet, I'm assuming?
Yes, we've done our initial draft. Well, we've done our brainstorming for the resolutions, decided the basic topics that we're going to cover, and now our chairman and secretary are drafting the resolution. So after the evening session, then we'll get together and we'll take our first whack at them and see
Very
how it
good.
Goes.
Exciting to see that resolution process in work.
Yeah.
So good stuff. Can you give us any insight into perhaps some technology initiatives? Like you mentioned Webmaster and the camp down there, mainly using particular content management systems?
All the sites that I'm working with right now are using Final Web.
Okay.
I'm also trying to work with Calvary Lutheran School in Dallas. My wife, who happens to be the school secretary, often has technology issues, so I'm kind of the informal
Yeah, we were just kind of remembering. I think your wife Joanne's been on the Wells Tech podcast
before.
Oh,
that's right.
So
I forgot about that.
She's an alumni of our podcast. So
following behind her.
Very good. You know, one thing about being in the outlying districts is kind of the long distance connection to Senate. I remember when we lived in Texas, that was back in the day of 2929 North Mayfair, and 2929 was kind of like an icon, like, you know,
it
held
Mecca.
It up. Exactly, yes. You know. And so hopefully now technology is bridging some of those gaps. Do you get that feeling that you're connected maybe a little bit more than in the past?
Yeah, I think we're getting better at using it within the, from the synod to the outlying districts. You know, like Jim Henriksen at Calvary is using a lot of technology to communicate because he's involved in so many different things.
Committees and things.
I think where we more struggle is on a congregational level. You know, how do we use technology to make sure that we've got everybody plugged into the council meeting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're not canceling the council meeting because three of the guys are out of town.
Sure.
So how can we use technology to keep everybody involved? How can we get people more up to date? Yes, we've got data on the website, but how do we get people out to the website and actually look at it?
Sure.
It's not exactly exciting to say, hey, give me a login for the website, and now you can look at the minutes for the council meeting.
Right.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Everybody's jumping on that.
Yeah.
So.
Very good.
Do you use social networks at all in your ministry?
We have Facebook and Twitter, and I believe Pastor Belter has started an Instagram account.
Okay.
So, but it...
Dipping your toe in the water.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't get a lot of use, but... you know, for some of the members, that's kind of how they interact.
Right.
So
absolutely.
I know my youngest daughter, if I even mention email, she's like, ew.
So yesterday,
email,
huh?
Ew.
Right.
Because I suggested that for something and said, well, they could just email you instead. No.
So, and I guess maybe one thing to bring out is that you mentioned your kids. They've gone through our ministerial ed system. Used it quite extensively with students at Luther Prep, two at MLC, now one heading to SEM.
Yes, one heading to SEM. One already is in Doral, Florida.
Teaching ministry.
At Divine Savior.
So
she's there, and then Becca is at MLC in the,
is she doing early childhood?
No, she's doing special needs.
Oh, excellent.
So,
great.
Special ed.
Professor Hahnemann then.
Yeah.
Excellent. So,
and then I'm going to have two at prep, so I'll have a senior and a freshman.
So kudos to the ministerial ed system.
Exactly.
Lots of good things going on there. So, well, very good. It was great talking with you this afternoon, Brent, and enjoy the rest of your convention experience, and maybe you don't want to miss supper. I think maybe it cleared out because it's supper time.
I suspect when everybody disappears, that usually means there's food involved.
Hopefully it'll be good.
So. All right.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
All right, Sally. Wonderful guest. I think just one of the neat parts about convention and talking to people, and we did this 2 years ago, you know, bring people in, getting their experiences, all different perspectives, you know, whether they're a call worker, a layman, just an experience that you go home and you don't really forget.
Right. And like you said, the theme, the one in Christ, just really is drawn out by rubbing elbows with all these wonderful people that are here.
All have the same goal.
For sure.
Let's move on to our picks of the week.
Sure, and I have a website to share. Learned about this from the Lutheran Schools office. They were promoting this animated introduction to multi-grade classrooms done by a principal out in California at one of our Lutheran elementary schools. And I think he did an excellent job. I have his name in my mind, Matt. But he put together this explanation of the positive effects of multi-grade classrooms. And, you know, for many people, that's just really a foreign concept. Maybe they think you guys are back in the Laura Ingalls days or something with the single single classroom effect. But I think he draws out a lot of very positive...
Tim Vogel's in there.
There you go, yeah. Tim Vogel from mm-hmm. California. And so we want to make sure everybody checks out his videos. He has one titled, What is a Multigrade Classroom? And then he has one, What are the Benefits of a Multigrade Classroom? Mm-hmm. And perhaps you'd even want to share them on your own website. They're out on Vimeo or YouTube, I'm not sure which. And you could actually embed them on your own website too and talk with Tim. Perhaps there's some customization or whatever he'd be willing to do. So great resource. Wanted to make everyone aware of that.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sally. Mm-hmm. All right, my pick of the week is actually three picks in one, but they're all kind of related. And I think I've talked about some of these tools before. Two of them, one for Mac and one for Windows. Text Expander for Mac, Phrase Express for Windows. I've used both of them extensively because I work on multiple platforms. But what they do is they basically allow you to create little text snippets, or not even just text, you can have images, etc., and then create a little keyboard shortcut or a little a signature keyboard shortcut where you could just type in a couple letters. And then once the software knows that you've typed those letters, it will replace those letters with your snippet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a productivity tool. What I'm really excited about, however, is the fact that Emil Burgess wrote in and said what he's done is he's taken the entire hymnal, or at least the hymns of Christian worship, and put them into snippets. So that all you have to do, once you've got the software in place and the snippets loaded, is type in a little keyboard shortcut and the entire text of a hymn would be injected into your document. So
wow.
If you're showing my screen, I'm just going to do a quick demonstration. So I've got a Word document. This is on the Mac, but this would work the same way on a PC. So if I wanted a Mighty Fortress, you know what hymn number that is offhand?
Perhaps 200?
Close. Well, it might be 200. I know it's 201.
Okay, sorry.
No, it might. Let's try 200. So all I'd have to do is type CWW. Let's see what 200 is. Yeah, it is.
That, boom.
There, 200 and 201. There it is. So all the text right there. It gives the copyright at the bottom. All these he's taken the time to plug in.
Wow.
Which is totally awesome. Makes this tool really worth it. You just have to put in the little code, in this case CWW, and then the hymn number. And this would be a real boon for a church secretary who's got to do the bulletin.
Yep.
As you're just typing along, you just type it in and it comes. He's got it nicely formatted and he's made it available for free. So what we've done is we have created a new page on our wiki under planning and policy called Christian Worship Hymns for Text Expander. And these will work for Phrase Express as well because it will ingest Text Expander snippets as well.
Nice.
And then he gave us a nice little email here about how to do it. You can just get the title, you can do it by hymn number, or if you know the title of the hymn even, not just the number, you can do that. He talks a little bit about some of the gotchas and some of the nuances of using this system, and then we've included the expander file there. So many thanks to Pastor Burgess for putting this together. I think you'll find this very useful if you use either of those tools. And Text Expander is not free. I forget what the cost is. It's not a lot. Phrase Express is free. So if you're on the Windows side, you're a big winner there. He sent me a follow-up email and said he's going to start putting some other things in this format as well, other worship planning related resources where you can just shortcut your way through the development of service.
Very, so, very nice. That's
cool.
That's worth having Wells Tech connections there. Pastor
yep.
Burgess was...
Emil was with us in Waukesha
he
just 2 weeks ago.
And very kind to share it with our audience so that we could share it here on the show. That's really great.
Yep.
So
Sally, we won't do any community feedback. We're going to store that up and do it next week. Next Tuesday, by the way, 4 o'clock Central is the time we do our live show. But we do have a featured video.
We do, and I'm excited to reveal to our audience the trailer for the new movie that's being produced called My Son, My Savior. It's available out on YouTube now, and we'll be embedding it on our show notes, so you can head over to wellstech.wells.net and see the movie trailer for the new movie. It should be released around Christmas time this year,
yeah,
I believe.
They're going to play the trailer here tomorrow,
right,
I think.
So getting the convention experience if you watch it from
absolutely.
Home.
Yep.
So.
Sally, we're going to do the show again next week. We will probably be in our regular locales at that point, but we do have a topic.
Actually, one thing's been missing from our show this summer. Every other summer that we've done Wells Tech, we've had a summer series, I believe.
Yep.
So we got one more month left in summer. It's time to kick into summer series mode. And we decided we would do a summer series called Imagine That. Focus on digital imagery. So all kinds of different flavors.
Stock photos, photography, image editing, storage, organization, all that stuff.
Got it all covered coming up in August.
Summer's the time to take pictures, and it's always good to include imagery, you know, on your website and other venues. So we're going to do a little series on
that.
Yep, looking
forward to it.
I'm excited about that. Yeah,
it'll be good.
Absolutely. If you want to contribute to the show and get in on some of that community feedback we were talking about, you can go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and just look across the top. You'll see all kinds of icons for all our social network connections. You also have an opportunity to just send us a plain old email, wellstech@wells.net. We have a listserv, very vibrant community, where you can send out an email or just kind of read along as people are asking and answering great technology questions.
Definitely.
So. Sally, is that going to do it?
That's going to do it. I think we can say goodbye to each other for a while. I don't know when we'll be side by side.
Seen a lot of each other lately.
But I'll see you on Google Hangouts.
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next week.